Welcome to today's audiocast for Friday, November 17th, 2006, brought to you by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Mike Blakeney reporting for AFWeb Audio. Cirrus Design co-founder and chief executive officer Alan Klappmeyer isn't one to shy away from the topic of safety. In fact, after a succession of three fatal accidents involving Cirrus airplanes last month, he addressed the topic head-on in a letter recently to Cirrus owners and in an interview last week with AFWeb at AOPA Expo.
As you know, unfortunately, we had three fatal accidents in the month of October, and that's certainly a disturbing situation anytime it would happen, but close together. And while tragic for the families involved, what we have to do is look beyond that and look at whether or not there are any issues with our airplane, with our operators, with the system, and think about how we can prevent those kinds of accidents. As we've looked at them, there certainly is no common thread there. And so what we did last week was send a letter to all of our owners just reinforcing that they need to think about the changing weather now that as we come into winter, darker hours. They need to rethink safety. They need to go back to their back to the basics. At Cirrus, we have something we call an envelope of safety, which is basically a set of personal minimums and weather standards that we want people to review. Now, the important thing we're trying to get at is more of a thoughtfulness as opposed to a specific type of training. Think about safety. Think about your alternatives, and we think that can and will make a difference. The reason we feel that way is of the fatal accidents that we've had, 87% have not been COPA members. COPA meaning the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association. We think that's an interesting statistic. COPA does a lot of work with training and safety, but more than that, it tries to encourage a culture of safety, meaning thoughtfulness. Think about your alternatives. And so I think that participating with a group like that where you're reading about either accidents or choices that people have made or questions that people have make you more aware of safety issues. And we need to make sure people don't take safety for granted.
But Klappmeyer believes there's more that can be done to prevent general aviation accidents.
Well, certainly beyond COPA, there's a lot of things we do. I think of COPA as an example, not as necessarily the only path. In terms of a culture of safety, what we want to do is promote a behavior that has you being more thoughtful about the flight before you take off. Looking at alternative weather sites, constantly checking safety information, reading articles, doing some of the AOPA Air Safety Foundation quiz segments. All of these are about learning. We continue to focus on how we can do that in the short run. In the long run, we also think it's about changing the way people learn to fly. And far too much flight training is based upon the acquisition of skills, the manipulation of controls, the turning of knobs, as opposed to risk management or decision making. We need people to think about the consequences of what they do and be trained to think about it, not to focus training on what you do. People can solo an airplane in, 15 hours, I think, is the average, something like that. The skill, the physical manipulation of the controls necessary to safely land and take off once are not that big a deal. It's not that hard to fly. The decision-making, the context of a cross-country flight is where we need to focus. How am I going to get through these weather systems? What's different about this airport versus another airport? What's different about the airplane I'm flying today and the load that I'm carrying with me? All of these kinds of decision-making skills. That's what we need to focus on.
But can decision-making skills really be taught?
I would have to say yes, recognizing how difficult that is. It's certainly not a cut-and-dried yes, we can teach decision-making skills. I think that people have decision-making skills, and we can refine them or refocus them on the issues necessary to safely operate airplanes. One of the things we're doing is we're going to be adding a screen. When you turn on your Cirrus, the MFD will come up where you have to enter in the fuel. It'll ask you how much fuel you have. Well, we're going to add some other questions, which will include perspective questions like, have you checked the weather along your route? at least make you think about it. And again, it's more just a general safety awareness as opposed to a particular skill, changing the way people think about learning to fly.
The intense media coverage of the Corey Lytle accident, as well as other serious fatal crashes last month, has affected the company's image and possibly even sales.
We're not thinking about safety from a sales point of view. We're thinking about safety from a, purely how do we keep pilots safer? How do we, keep the fleet operating the way it's supposed to be? From a sales point of view, yeah, I'm sure it affects sales. And again, we try not to think about it. What it has been, though, is a very, very frustrating, it's been the beginning of a very frustrating conversation about safety. As you know, and we just talked a moment ago about the question that you guys had last week about do we think parachutes promote a false sense of security. We've taken a lot of shots from people inside the general aviation industry about Cirrus, and I think that most of them are wrong and some of them are absurdly wrong. I mean, purely absurd. And that's very frustrating. General aviation as an industry needs to grow. It provides tremendous benefit to individuals. We ought to all want it to grow. And it frustrates me that there are some people in our industry, and I will give you a ridiculous statement, so I'm warning you ahead of time, but they would basically say, Nobody should be allowed to learn to fly unless they already have 1,000 hours. Well, that doesn't work. We need to grow this industry. To grow this industry, that means bring in new people. That means new people are going to fly, new people are going to learn to fly, and that's a benefit for all of us and a benefit for those individuals. It's very strange the way aviation, and particularly general aviation, likes to feed on its young and pick on its own members. Very counterproductive.
So does an emergency ballistic parachute give a false sense of security or even a sense of invincibility?
In this case, I'll say, do we think, meaning do I think, as Alan Klapmeyer of Cirrus Design? Absolutely not. It's absurd to think that it gives you a false sense of security. It does give you an added sense of security because you have one more tool that you can use in the event of an emergency. As TAWS, traffic, weather in the cockpit, improved handling qualities, crash worthiness, all improve the safety. Now, I grant you that as with automobiles or anything else, as the level of safety increases, you will see people take higher risk because of that. But sense of invincibility. I mean, give me a break. What a ridiculous thing to say. Nobody that's flying a Cirrus or anybody else's airplane has a death wish and doesn't think about safety. We need to improve the way they think about safety, but we also need to give them all the tools we can to improve the chance of survival in the event that there's an emergency. And the parachute is one of those tools.
Cirrus is designing a jet as a faster and more capable step-up airplane for customers, and Klapmeyer is confident that pilots will be able to operate it safely.
Because we are going to make sure that those people are adequately trained, that they've got the availability of training resources to allow them to fly safely.
Do you think the insurance companies will mandate this and shape the training?
The insurance companies always play a factor in training requirements. I expect them to do so with the jet as well. And I'm confident that we will come to the right answers in terms of pilot skills. It will be a very benign airplane in terms of handling qualities.
In conclusion, Klapmeyer emphasized that Cirrus airplanes are indeed safe to fly.
The assumption here, or I should say the assumptions made by the critics that are out there right now, or that somehow that Cirrus has an unusual accident record, and in fact it doesn't. It's about average with the fleet. And if you think about safety instead as a number of miles instead of hours, and if you think about miles versus exposure, go on one of the flight tracker softwares and look at the number of Cirrus airplanes that are flying cross country. Our pilots, our owners get a lot of utility out of their airplanes. They are flying longer flights in more weather, and consequently we want to make sure that they're appropriately trained for that, but it certainly is a higher exposure of risk. Now, there are everyone else's manufacturers' airplanes flying in those same conditions, So before anybody says, see, I knew they were taking risks because they have Cirrus airplanes, my answer is airplanes of a certain performance capability fly in different kinds of systems. It doesn't make any sense to compare the safety record of a Cirrus with the safety record of a trainer that goes around in circles at the pattern. I don't expect our critics to necessarily understand that. They've already proven that they have difficulty grasping complex subjects.
And thanks to Chad Troutfeder for that excellent interview with Alan Clapmeyer. Find all these stories and more coverage of AOPA Expo online today at avweb.com. To comment on this podcast, email works at audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Monday, November 20th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for downloading AvWeb Audio.